And we start this hour with the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. And it's nice to have joining us here on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health, Dr. Emily Blosser, obstetrician gynecologist with Newport Women's Health. Dr. Blosser, nice to have you back with us.
Thanks for inviting me back.
Good to talk to you. And certified nurse midwife Carolyn Zambrata from Newport Women's Health is with us as well. Carolyn, welcome. Nice to have you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to talk about obstetrics and gynecology and midwifery. See, I like to say that because it impresses people that I know how to say that. I even know what a doula does, so we're good to go. And how many men can say that, I wonder? But we're here to talk about obstetrics, gynecology services, midwifery, and to talk about what it is and what it's not. And that's probably a good place to start. Carolyn and Dr. Blosser and Carolyn Zambrata, certified nurse midwife, at Newport Women's Health, it's a very important service. It is having a moment. I think it's been having a moment for the past couple of decades. But there's still a lot of kind of misconceptions. Is that right?
Correct. Concerning midwifery?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Let's start there.
So just to give you a little background on myself, that I've been with Newport Women's Health for about 7 years. And prior to that, I was a labor and delivery nurse at Newport Hospital for about 15 years working on the birthing center. I earned a bachelor's degree in nursing from Salve, Regina, and then a master's from URI. So I'm a nurse midwife. I'm master's trained, and I have a certificate in midwifery. And midwives need to be licensed in each state. And we work with, we can work in all healthcare settings. So we, including hospitals, birth centers, offices, and clinics. And we provide like general women's health care throughout a woman's lifetime. So, and I can prescribe like most medications. Generally, midwives are associated with care that we provide to women during pregnancy, labor, and birth.
Right.
And the period of time, and then also the period of time like right after, which is the postpartum period.
Okay. And then, which is something we're really starting to get to understand that is an important time and an important phase to go through. So I thought I knew the answer to this, but I don't. So Dr. Blosser or Carolyn Zambrata, certified nurse midwife, so what's the difference between a midwife and a doctor? And I don't know how to ask that other than that way, you know? I mean, you know, I certainly understand the course of study and the years of concentration and so forth, but I thought I knew the answers, but what is the answer? What is the difference between the two of you?
So a midwife, we work with women that we kind of pride ourselves in being experts in the normal. So the difference between normal changes that occur during pregnancy and then we can recognize symptoms that require like extra care or problems that arise. Then we refer to our physician colleagues okay. regarding that.
That's a good explanation. Now I've got it. Okay. So when will you see, when might you see these signs that would indicate that you need to call in Dr. Emily Blosser or one of the other OBGYNs there?
Oh, specifically during labor?
Or just at any, you know, I guess that would be the question. Is it a labor situation or is it a pregnancy situation that you say, hey, you know what, doc, come over here and take a look at this?
Well, sometimes both, because sometimes if I'm seeing a woman during pregnancy and her blood pressure is elevated or she has issues with diabetes and the treatment for that becomes a little bit more complicated, then I can co-manage with a physician or the physician may even have to continue to see that patient throughout the pregnancy.
Well, I mean, that is it. And it's all coming back to me now. And that was us. I mean, we and can I tell you, just in case you didn't know, I am a fan of midwifery. We used midwives, doulas, and I can remember the name. She was such a lovely person and just an amazing person. Her name was, I think her name was Dina or Dila or something, and she was at... And she was legendary. I mean, people would say to us, "Oh, you have Dula." She retired now, and this was back in the early 00s. And just as you described, Carolyn, you know, just right there with the normal, and it's like, hey, this is going to happen, and it's going to be okay, and you're going to be all right, and you know, it was just amazing. And again, we did have that type of a situation where we did have our midwife had to call in the troops at a couple of different points. So I get it completely now, and it makes perfect sense. So go ahead and continue the kind of explanation here as we sort of get acquainted here in the opening moments of this Newport Hospital Hour of Health about the relationship between you and the patient in the stages of pregnancy and as we go along here. And again, Dr. Blosser, please jump in here.
So we support women with their try to support them with their health care goals and the goals that they want to see throughout their pregnancy and delivery. I think a lot of the misconception also for midwives is that people think that women will not get any pain medication during labor if they choose to have a midwife.
Right.
But I help women to make decisions about how she's going to cope with labor, whether it be position changes or particular classes that she may take, or hydrotherapy, or offer pain medication if she does need it. So I'm trying to work with them to achieve what their goals are.
Yes. And again, it is just the key right there. We can almost take the rest of the hour off because it's such an important an important point to make, and we've made it. And we want to get into obstetrics, gynecology, the levels of care, and just how the OBGYN practice at Newport Women's Health helps and operates and brings the babies in and all that good stuff. So we'll continue in just a minute here with certified nurse midwife Carolyn Zambrana and obstetrician gynecologist Dr. Emily Blosser, Newport Women's Health, in the spotlight here on today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. And this time around, we are talking about OBGYN and the Newport Women's Health practice with obstetrician gynecologist Dr. Emily Blosser and certified nurse midwife Carolyn Zambrana. Who's been with the hospital the longest?
I think I have. I've been, I was labor and delivery here for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then after going to midwifery school, I worked up in Taunton for about 15 years and then came back here in 2015.
We'll talk more about Taunton in a minute. So Dr. Emily Blosser, you were with us, about a year or two ago?
Yeah, I just I actually came down to help support with some call starting in 2020, I guess, and then made the move down here full time back in October of 2021. So it's just been a little over a year now.
Terrific. That's great. Well, Carolyn Zambrano, we will have to talk about your time in Taunton. Were you at Morton Hospital?
Yes, I was.
Oh, my gosh.
I
go back to when there was a high school next door to Morton Hospital. So that was back in the Jurassic period. And the doctor came on in a horse cart, but that's another story. But it, so let's talk about the OBGYN medical practice at Newport Women's Health. Dr. Blosser, how many physicians in the group?
We currently have 4 physicians in the group. And then we have 2 nurse midwives currently.
And the locations are where? At Newport Hospital, but there's a second location, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We have two office locations. One is in the on the first floor of Newport Hospital on Powell Avenue, and the other one is located in Portsmouth off on Turnpike Avenue.
Very easy to find either way. So OBGYN care, when we talk about obstetrics and gynecology, it's more encompassing than just the pregnancy, labor, and delivery, correct?
That's right. So obstetrics really is healthcare related to pregnancy and childbirth and then postpartum recovery as well, whereas gynecology really refers to women's healthcare or healthcare pertaining to the reproductive system, and that is usually outside of pregnancy.
Sure. So you will be offering care really at all stages, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
We invite people into obstetrics and gynecology care as early as adolescence, and then care for them through usually the reproductive years, and then into later adulthood and after menopause.
Right. And where we have so many baby boomer women heading in that direction, we want to spend some time talking about that in just a little bit. So when we talk about gynecology, just to get the kind of the terms of the trade down here, we talk about gynecology is kind of a more all-encompassing term for the type of healthcare. Is that a good way to think of it?
Yeah, you can kind of think of it like the women's health version of primary care. So we do a lot of preventative health screenings, things like breast exams and cervical cancer screening. We do annual exams to check to make sure that the uterus is normal and that menstrual cycles are coming when they're supposed to come. It's your normal daily health care for the reproductive system. And so a lot of the emphasis is on education and preventative health measures.
And then obstetrics is directly related to pregnancy, childbirth.
That's right. Yeah. And up and including issues with infertility. So trying to get women pregnant and then maintaining their pregnancy, facilitating their delivery, and then helping them to recover in the postpartum period.
Oh, Dr. Blosser, take a minute to talk about that, because the impression out in the kind of general popular culture is that that's a separate thing. Is that just my impression, or is that impression kind of widespread?
That which part is a separate thing?
That in terms of infertility issues and that kind of end of things, we hear a lot on both the women's side and the men's side about people who may or may not be in the medical field who deal with those specific issues. So I think it's good for us to know that the practice of OBGYN really extends to that.
Mm-hmm. Infertility is a really interesting and complicated topic that really is a close bridge between gynecology and obstetric care and endocrinology. Or the management of the hormones that help a person to menstruate on a regular schedule and to achieve and maintain a pregnancy. So specialists who deal with infertility are a group of OBGYN-trained specialists who have done a fellowship in reproductive endocrinology. And so we have the ability to get infertility workup started in a general office like we have. And then if there are additional challenges or a patient isn't able to get pregnant, then we refer to those specialists for more advanced care and infertility.
That's interesting. And I really did not know that endocrinology played the role that it plays. When we think of endocrinology, we think of a lot of different things. Where is the relationship there? Is it as simple as hormones or those types of things? I'm sure it isn't, but tell us where the relationship is between with endocrinology and infertility issues.
Yeah, so the menstrual cycle at large is primarily functions as a result of the brain chemistry. There's a signal pathway that leads from the brain to the ovaries to the uterus. And it's a very delicate system that can be thrown off by a number of different things. And so there are a number of different hormones that play there, most notoriously estrogen and progesterone, but there are a number of brain hormones and signals from the brain that come into play much sooner than estrogen and progesterone even come into the picture. And so reproductive endocrinologists manage a lot of those hormone balances and make sure that the system is functioning with a intact communication system all the way from top to bottom. There are other endocrinologists, general endocrinologists, who also study hormones, but usually in a different capacity, maybe in the adrenal gland, maybe in the pancreas, maybe in the thyroid. So there's a lot of different types of endocrinology. Reproductive endocrinologists primarily focus on the hormones secreted from the brain and from the ovaries that play a role in maintaining a normal menstrual cycle.
So this might be a good example of what Carolyn talked about in terms of the relationship between a midwife and a physician, where these types of issues could be in the way, and you may need to call in. I mean, Carolyn, will someone seek you out because of infertility issues?
Well, I may see a woman during her annual exam or through a problem visit that may be thinking about becoming pregnant, or maybe they've attempted pregnancy for quite a while. So then I can start the process and then refer to a physician for that. A lot of visits too may be preconceptional counseling that I do. Women will come to me saying that, you know, we might be trying to start a family in a year or two, and I can talk to them about lifestyle changes or medications that they're on or diet, and that may be a segue into that.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. What types of advice might you give other than the obvious one, stop smoking and, you know, other bad habits and things like that? What other things might you advise someone who is really taking that initiative and saying, hey, you know what, might be a year or two down the road, but what can I do now?
Well, maybe just tracking their cycles and paying closer attention to their body signals as far as the changes that their cycling changes that happen. Also, what medications are they on? And then taking some prenatal vitamins. I usually have women start taking increased doses of folic acid prior to conceiving, because it's been shown to decrease neural tube issues. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that we can do prior to a woman becoming pregnant.
Again, it just makes so much sense. And when we have this discussion, I'm so glad we're able to have it today, that we come down to just, look, there are some basic things going on here. And I can't understand why the reluctance to talk to there's reluctance on both ends, reluctance to talk to a midwife, or someone who will only go to a midwife thinking that it is somehow apart from the quote mainstream medical practices and all of that stuff. Everybody works
Correct.
Better together, don't they?
Correct. Yes.
And that's why it's great to be having this discussion, and I'm glad to have it here. And we're speaking with Carolyn Zambrotta. She's a certified nurse midwife, and Dr. Emily Blosser, obstetrician gynecologist, both with Newport Women's Health, and more in a minute here in today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540. Newport Hospital Hour of Health, first Thursday of the month, and today we are focusing on women's health, Newport Women's Health, and OBGYN services with Dr. Emily Blosser, OBGYN, and Carolyn Zambrotta, certified nurse midwife. So we've kind of gotten into a theme here about working together, and Newport Women's Health, of course, is all about collaboration. We've talked about the relationship between the midwives and the MDs? Well, how does Newport Women's Health work with a patient's primary care doctor? Either one of you can take this one, or both of you.
We receive a lot of referrals from primary care doctors, especially primary care doctors who may do some of the preventative screenings like cervical cancer screening, which is the pap smear. So sometimes a primary care will do that test and get an abnormal result and then refer to us for follow-up of the abnormal cervical cancer screening results. And so we are happy to see patients for that reason. Some primary care physicians prefer not to do pelvic exams or pap smears, and so we're happy to see their patients to do the annual screening studies for those patients as well. We refer back to primary care for a number of things, including things that are more endocrine related, thyroid disorders, endocrine or adrenal disorders, and for obviously GI care, we refer to GI doctors and other specialists as well. So the hope is that during our annual visit, we'll kind of cover a lot of the preventative health issues with a patient and sort of run through the checklist of things that need to be done, just as another person to sort of help them stay on track with up-to-date preventative health screenings, everything from colonoscopies to mammograms to cervical cancer screening, bone density testing when patients are after menopause. So it just is, we're an extra set of eyes to review the chart to make sure that people are staying up to date with their preventative health.
Does it ever happen that an OBGYN like yourself, Dr. Blosser, might be a primary care physician? I mean, are you ever considered that?
There's always been a lot of conversation about whether we're truly part of primary care or whether we're truly a specialty. We do straddle that line a lot, just because for a lot of women, we are the primary doctor that they see once a year, every year.
Right.
We love to have the support from primary care doctors because there are a lot of things that we are not specialized or trained to manage. And so we're always grateful when we have a primary care team that we can have help us with issues that aren't related to reproduction. So in that respect, I think we fall down closely on the side of a specialist. But we do work very closely with primary care.
Right. And Carolyn Zambrotta, midwife, I would ask you the same question because, again, we're kind of dealing with some of these misconceptions where, you know, well, if I go to a midwife, I'm not really going to a doctor, which is okay because whatever. But at what point might someone come to you and say, well, you know, I really consider you like my doctor. And how do you very gently say, you know, there are times when you should go see a doc?
Right. And I think a lot of my, a lot of referrals that I get from primary cares are for young women, maybe making the transition from their pediatrician to someone that is taking care of their GYN needs. So I may see young women for contraceptive care or placing certain types of contraceptive devices. So that's usually my role in starting to see some younger women from the primary care.
Isn't that interesting? Is that a change?
I'm not sure, but I think it's a good way for women to kind of segue into GYN care.
Yeah.
And just be able to be more comfortable with seeing me as their provider for GYN care.
Yeah, it's just so interesting to think about how this has evolved over really not too many years. As I said, midwifery is certainly having a moment and it is being discussed much more openly. But over the past couple of decades, it certainly has had more of a, it is more widely recognized, in my little world anyway, for whatever that's worth, which is probably not a heck of a lot. But Let's talk about, now we just were talking about kind of the beginning of someone's journey with gynecology and things like that. Let's go to the other side here, Dr. Blosser. Now, you recently authored a column in the Newport Daily News on menopause and really explain what it is. The baby boom is hitting that wave and so forth, and so it is much more prevalent, again, being discussed much more widely. Tell us a little bit about what you wrote and explaining what it is that our friends and our wives and sisters are looking at.
Yeah, so like almost everything, menopause is not just like a on-off switch, and it takes a number of years, and there are a number of changes that happen over that time. In that way, it's not dissimilar from puberty, where there are several years of massive changes and maturity that happens and can really strongly affect a person's life during that phase. We always think of the couple of years leading up to menopause as a period of time called perimenopause, during which time a number of new symptoms may arise, like changes in the regularity of a menstrual cycle, sometimes symptoms that are normally associated with PMS symptoms like irritability or sleep disturbance can change. There can be weight redistribution. There can be changes in hair, like thinning of the hair, skin changes. All of these things can start to happen. And as you can imagine, that can be somewhat distressing for patients. And there can be patients who experience none of that. And so it's important to sort of have women in a reproductive health care setting during those years to sort of help to usher them through. If you think of it in this way, this is how I usually think about it. You know, when a person is going through puberty, they have the benefit of being in school and surrounded by peers who are also going through the exact same thing. Adulthood is very different, and you can be quite isolated and not necessarily know that what's going on with you is the same thing that's going on with other people in your age group or people who just did this 2 years before you did. And so I think there's a feeling of isolation that sometimes comes with perimenopause and menopause, where people they feel unprepared for it. They didn't know these things were going to happen, and they need somebody to talk to about it. So that's sort of where we start our menopause education in the office.
So as you say, it's not just a point, and it happens at slightly different ages for each individual. I was not familiar with the term perimenopause. Is there an age or a point at which someone might be prone or might be looking at that? Is it a benchmark, or is it like menopause where it affects different women at different ages?
So the definition of menopause is just having no menstrual cycles for 12 consecutive months. So going one full year without having a period is technically the definition of menopause. And perimenopause is typically somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 5 years leading up to menopause. So the average age for menopause to happen is about 51 years old. And so we usually anticipate some of the perimenopausal symptoms and changes in the mid to late 40s. For some people, it's not until they're 50. For some people, it's as early as 35 or 40. Family history can help us a lot there to know if a patient has a mom or a sister or close relatives, to sort of get an idea for when the family has typically experienced menopause. But it's not a perfect measure. And so typically, if the symptoms start to arise, then we sort of assume that it's perimenopause and start treating it and discussing it as such.
So how would you treat perimenopause? Is it the same type of a treatment? Feel free to just jump in here, because I'm in way beyond my depth, so go right ahead.
Well, that's probably how a lot of the patients feel, because, I mean that sincerely, because, you know, sometimes people will come in and say, like, you know, my primary symptom is that I can't sleep anymore, and my best friend, who's the same age, is not having this at all, and she just reports these other symptoms. And so people can have any of a number of symptoms, and they can have them arranged in different constellations, which makes it always challenging to choose therapeutic regimens because you're trying to treat the symptoms. The eventuality of menopause is not something that we try to avoid. Even hormone replacement therapy is not to stop menopause from happening. The goal is to treat the symptoms that are bothersome or intrusive to somebody's life. So for that reason, when we do hormone therapy, we don't measure labs really to track what estrogen and progesterone levels are, because that's not the goal. The goal, we're not trying to achieve a level of estrogen. We're trying to achieve normalcy of normal daily life. And so I think that's very confusing because it's unlike most other treatments where there's a lab that you're trying to, your thyroid hormone was high, we're going to treat you until it's normal.
Right.
Or, you know, your glucose level is too high, we're going to give you insulin to bring it back into the normal range. And that's not the case here. It's basically a treatment until we find a response, and then we try to keep you there as long as that's needed, and then to taper it off as soon as it's no longer needed.
Makes so much sense. Happy for the information, and I'm sure that people listening to our chat here are feeling the same way. We really appreciate it. And we'll continue just ahead here in today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health with Dr. Emily Blosser, OBGYN, and certified nurse midwife Carolyn Zambrotta here in the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. It's the Newport Hospital Hour of Health. And if you'd like to find out more about Newport Women's Health, Dr. Emily Blosser, where's a good place to send our friends here who would like to find out more?
So we have a website that they can go to look out more information. We also have a blog, and you can take a virtual tour of the facility from the website. And that website is www.lifespan.org/Newport Women's Health.
Excellent. And Newport Women's Health, of course, is at Newport Hospital, also a location in Portsmouth at 77 Turnpike Avenue. With us, Carolyn Zambrotta, certified nurse midwife, and Dr. Emily Blosser, obstetrician and gynecologist. We are talking about the services available at Newport Women's Health. And Carolyn and Dr. Blosser, what can we look at in terms of what's to come? What are some of the goals and things in mind for Newport Women's Health over the next few years?
Well, I think one thing that we're trying to do is increase our midwifery practice, and at both locations, to help service all the women on the island and the neighboring communities. We are currently taking new patients, and they can reach us at our phone number is 401-848-5556. And then you can also use the website to gather information about the practice and women's health topics, and request an appointment.
So simple as that. And as we've been talking about, it is a way that you can get some help at all phases and stages. I mean, we talk about OBGYN and people immediately think in one direction, but as we've talked about, it is really, I think it was Dr. Emily that talked about this, it is a primary care for women's health issues and issues of women's health, and it's very important to consider that. So let's talk a little bit in the time that we have left here about some of the advantages of choosing Newport Women's Health.
Yeah, so this is a very beloved community hospital, and it's cared for and maintained by a lot of the island residents. A lot of the people that work here were born here and have family members who were born here and have had their children here. The hospital is very much a part of this community. I know that the people that go to the Portsmouth office feel that way about Portsmouth, and I know that that clinic is very beloved in that community too, and those patients have been going to those offices for years now. And so it's wonderful to be a part of a practice that is so supported by the community. From a medical practice standpoint, we have a lot of benefits because we're part of the Lifespan family. And so that means that we have access to highly specialized care. Anything that really a patient could need is within the Lifespan family, and we can refer through that network with pretty great ease at this point.
Sure. We've talked about so many other disciplines where it really is no longer necessary to consider, gee, where are we going to go to have this, whatever it is, whether it's a surgery, whether it's a procedure. Newport mm-hmm. Hospital and certainly the Lifespan Network is going to be a tremendous resource. And this is certainly no exception. GYN surgeries, the obvious ones are there, but what are some of the other procedures or surgeries that it may come as a surprise that can be performed at Newport Hospital?
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of minimally invasive procedures here, including hysterectomies. So laparoscopic and vaginal hysterectomies can be performed here. We do do abdominal hysterectomies through an abdominal incision when necessary, but we have the capability to do a lot of minimally invasive surgery, which improves recovery and surgical outcomes for patients. We also do, all of the basic procedures that go along with gynecology care. That includes hysteroscopy, or when we can put a hysteroscope into the uterus to evaluate for the endometrial cavity of the uterus. We can do sterilization procedures like removing the tubes or tying the tubes as a form of permanent birth control. I think we meet a wide range for our surgical scope. And then from the obstetric side, obviously, we're doing cesarean deliveries, and we can do tubal ligations at the time of C-sections. So all of the main and major, whether big or small, the cases related to OBGYN, they can be done here.
Sure. And if you would like to talk to Carolyn Zambrana, or there's another certified nurse midwife that's available. Now, are both of you at both practices?
Yes. Sarah Allen and myself, I'm 2 days out in Portsmouth and 2 days in Newport. And then Sarah is 2 days in Portsmouth, and we alternate the days out in either practice.
So can we reach out and make an appointment with you, or is it the kind of thing where we get in touch to make an appointment and it's, you might be talking to yourself or you might be talking to Sarah?
Either or they can specifically request for either one of us. And it would just be through calling calling the phone number and requesting an appointment through there.
Sure. Carolyn, give us that phone number one more time.
401-848-5556.
Excellent. And Newport Women's Health, of course, at Newport Hospital, and then also the location. And as Dr. Emily Blosser points out, it is beloved in its own right at 77 Turnpike Avenue in Portsmouth, and complete care, Newport Women's Health. And how long has that practice been going, Dr. Emily Blosser or Carolyn Zambrana? How long has Newport Women's Health been kind of its own thing?
You stumped us. Oh. We're not totally sure.
And I promise no hard questions. So no problem. Well, you've been there for a while, and let's just say a while. And it has been so great, so much information in today's Newport Hospital Hour of Health. Certified nurse midwife Carolyn Zambrana, Dr. Emily Blosser, OBGYN. Thank you so very, very much for a wonderful chat. Wish you the best for the holidays, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great, great pleasure. The Newport Hospital Hour of Health, live here on WADK on the first Thursday, and available on our podcast page as well.